Welcome to the YPO Leadership Development Network's Leader of Leaders podcast series, hosted by Dr. Terrence Kamal. We engage in open discussions with our YPO members who share their leadership journeys, experiences, and lessons. We discuss everything from leading startups and family businesses to international multi-million dollar entities. We engage in informed discussions that include the successes, failures, struggles, and trade-offs in their journey.
Hi, this is Terrence Kamal. I have the great pleasure of being in the company of my good friend and the regional chair of YPO South Asia, Saurabh Goswami. Saurabh, thank you for making the time. And also, to begin this conversation, I'd love for you to be able to share with us about your family business and what it does.
I'm part of a family business started by my father and built on with my twin brother. So my brother and I and my father, we are in the family business. I lead the marketing and finance operations of the business. It has been a fulfilling experience. And within that journey, came across peers who were already in YPO and they encouraged me, egged on to become a YPO member. That's how my YPO journey started.
Wow. So tell me quickly, if it's family focused and you know you've got into the part of a legacy business, if I could call it, what were the important next steps you took as when you got actively involved in the businesses? What were your first things to be done?
So Terence, first part is that it's not really legacy business. This business was started when I was at 19 years of age by my father, who was a professional. So when he left his job, he asked both his boys whether they are interested to become part of a startup and entrepreneurship is what he was chasing. So we started the company along with our father. So it was a journey that we kind of held on along with him. And so it was not really a legacy business. I have been in the family business since I was 19 years old. So that's what it is.
What motivated your father to start at that point, and what motivated you to join it?
See, he was always an entrepreneur. He had been a professional, then became an entrepreneur, lost his money. Next time round, when the boys were old enough, he wanted to start again, be an entrepreneur. But and the second time round, when we joined in, he wanted his family to be involved. So he had a very frank talk with his children who are in college, and he says, boys, I'm looking to again start a venture. Are you guys interested to be part of it? His energy and spirit was the compelling reason because of which we had no other plans whatsoever but to support our father in what he was doing. So that's what made us all join hands together and start the enterprise.
Sure. Tell me, what does your business do, sir? What does your business involve?
We are one of the world's largest digital ink manufacturers. These inks are used in industrial inkjet printers, the ones that you see in these flex and vinyl signboards, any advertising campaign that you see all across the world. Yeah. It's the ink that is used. We sell to the OEMs as also through our channel partners. We also make these industrial inkjets that are now used in things like tiles and textiles and things there. So it's inkjet inks, but industrial inkjet inks.
Wow. What did it take, Saurabh? I'm thoroughly impressed by what you tell me, from a startup to where it is as a global leader. What does it take to start a family business, to go from where it is to a global leading entity?
Persistence, persistence, persistence. There is no silver bullet. There is no magic pill. I think it's not just for a family business or a startup or a professional going on to become an entrepreneur. It all boils down to whether you have what it takes to keep on doing what your dream is all about, to keep at it. And that's what makes the difference between professionals and entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs have the willpower and they have the inner strength to continue working hard at their vision and dreams. And you falter a lot of times. You think that the plan that you made is the perfect plan, and by the time you're executing it, you fail miserably in that. But then you have to evolve around it and start with something more innovative within what you're trying to do.
Yeah, fantastic. So when you talk about some of those challenges, what are your biggest concerns at this point, outside of code, but as a business practice? Is anything top of mind that takes your energy?
We are at that position as a company side that we need talent. So, you know, we are neither small nor very big. And when you come to that situation, the challenge lies with the fact is that you're not small enough that you can manage within a small team, but you're not large enough that you can attract the top talent. So it's a chicken versus egg situation for mid-sized companies that, you know, it's tough for them to attract talent because you're not large enough. But without talent, you really cannot become a large enough player. So that's what is the journey what we're on right now.
Got you. And in terms of your personal ambition, where do you see the business going from obviously multiple stakeholders involved in the family? What is mm-hmm. your ambition for the organization in the next 5, 10, 20 years?
We are, as a family, we are a perennially optimistic family. So not just pre-COVID, COVID and beyond, the whole objective is you have to find your own way. You got to figure out which markets you want to address. You got to figure out which technologies you need to adapt. You need to figure out sources of capital. You need to pivot into new lines. You need to expand into existing ones, adjacencies. So the attempt is always to continue striving for something new and different and take that necessary risk to scale into bigger businesses.
Fantastic. In terms of challenges, tell me something that you've dealt with recently that's taken a lot of your energy.
People, to be very honest with you, because we are a fairly process-driven company in terms of raising capital, it's not been very difficult. Access to technology also is not difficult, not just for us, our company, but pretty much all companies, because accessibility has increased. Awareness may not be. You have to continuously strive towards being more aware. But once you're aware of what your company needs, accessing that is not very difficult. But having that transition from a size of a company that needs to grow, it is extremely difficult for the people that have been around with you, let's say 10 years, 20 years. They may be loyal, but their mindset has not changed to become a larger company. So that transition is extremely difficult, that you know they're loyal, they're good people, but they just don't have it within them to truly innovate and evolve from what they are. Just as they say that you need to be, there's a thing called peacetime general and a wartime general. So you could be a general, but you may not be good for a war, or a wartime general may not be good for a peacetime activity. So yeah, that is where we see a huge problem in people transition.
Okay. Makes it. And how are you winning against that? How are you managing that innate challenge?
So in most B2B businesses, while we have a lot of technology that we use within our company for our manufacturing processes, but the only way at some levels is trial and error. So you try, get a new team, you set processes around it. Now some do well, some you realize you made a mistake, and you improvise on that. And it's a question of time, but you have to keep pushing at it.
Yeah, makes sense. Tell me if there's anything that you would do differently. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20. What would you have done different in your journey?
Is it linked to COVID, the question, or just generally?
Not just generally, in terms of going back with looking at your business.
Well, if I had to look at doing things differently in 2020, I would have spent some more time on researching some of the industries that we did take our efforts into. But then again, it's a double-edged sword, that unless you get inside a business, you will never learn about it. But then again, now that you look back and you do have spent some time and money on those businesses, and you lose some money on those attempts, you hope that you had probably had done some more research on the subject matter. But on the other side, you know for a fact that you could have done as much research, and unless and until you step inside that industry or that opportunity, you really never get to know what it's really all about.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of your kids, what lessons do you want them to take from your journey? In your career and work?
One, they got to pursue what they really love. Absolutely. And it does not necessarily have to be linked. So every generation as it's progressing is bringing a sense of independence to their children. So when we came into our father's business, it was in some ways that is the only business that is going to help us all. What I am trying to tell my children is that you may choose to pursue absolutely anything under the sun as long as you're very passionate about it. So what I've learned from my journey is that as long as you follow your passion, the results are going to come through. So the next generation is what my wife and I are trying to instill on the children.
Yes, exactly. And leading on to that, what has been the impact of your work choice as a family business on your family versus some of our peers in professional appointments and other kind of businesses?
Could you repeat the question? I didn't understand the context.
What has been the effect of you choosing to be in a family business? How's that shaped and molded what you do as a family, as opposed to you having potentially been a professional appointment and an outside organization?
You know, I've been lucky enough to have a very supportive wife in terms of whatever we have done as a family, as an individual. So because there is harmony between my wife and I in terms of where we see where our future lies, by my wife and the kids are fairly supportive exactly what I do. But because I've spent the next number of years building a business, what I could have done better is focus more on what I love rather than focus more on what I think the market needs. So once you just follow what you feel you're good at and the company could be good at, the results would be far better. So that's the only difference where I think the children need to follow what their heart tells them to do.
Fantastic. In terms of giving advice to someone generally in the leadership space, what would you give to someone at this point?
Stop fearing the fact that you're being judged. That is something that has really helped me in YPO. YPO is all about public leadership. Yeah. And it's a very difficult leadership because it's a leadership of equals. Everyone in YPO, irrespective of the chapter or the region, is at the end of the day an equal in YPO. And when you're trying to lead YPO, you cannot dictate, you cannot do things that not necessarily what you think is best. That concern that you would be looked at a way that you are trying to be, you're not taking their feelings or their expectations along the way, always bears on a YPO leader's mind. But if you follow your heart and you do in the greater good for all, you realize the fact that in public leadership, there is always going to be moments that you will not be able to be please everyone. So one thing I would 100% share, that it's the greatest thing to be a champion. Step out of your comfort zone, raise your hand, become an officer, become a champion. It has its emotional pitfalls, but you come out of it much stronger because you realize that's the only way public leadership expects you to be.
Exactly. And on the topic of being a YPO and a leader in many respects, give me an example or two where you've created or found great value by being a YPO member in your personal or business journey.
You know, any leadership, whether you're leading your chapter XCOM, whether you're leading the regional XCOM, whether you are setting an example for your chapter or the region, it all boils down to individuals. We are a collation of individuals. We are not a team. We are individuals who have individual aspirations, which leads to our collective needs as a society. What needs to be done is that if you are taking up the mantle of leadership, you got to address as much as possible individual needs. It boils down to you being a human first. Then what I have successfully realized, and I've been saying this all along my journey as a leader, that nobody remembers who's the finance officer, learning officer, chapter chair, regional chair. Everybody will remember the person. Yeah. Years later, when nobody will remember that what position I enjoyed at what point of time, but when they either read about me, they listen into me, or they meet me, they will remember the person I am. And therein lies the necessity that you treat everyone in all fairness, without any judgment. And you do go out of the way wherever possible to help them either in their businesses or in their personal needs. And that, I would say, is the hallmark of absolutely wonderful results coming out. And I've had some phenomenal experiences, whether at my chapter level and at the regional level, whereby we have been friends and we have stuck together like a forum. And we truly enjoy working with each other. So if you're being fair and you're being a friend first more than an officer, not just within your teams, but membership at large, I think it just does wonders.
Yeah. I know when we met briefly, it was in Cape Town, right? We met around GLC. And it gave us that quick intro. I remember we met through Amit, and it was a very social time. But that created the relation. But it wasn't that Saurabh was incoming regional chair or Saurabh would, or who was what at that point. It was new acquaintances who then became, you know, good friends through just having a good time and being able to socialize. And at that point, you make up your mind, do I want to hang out with this guy or not? And Absolutely. That evolves into something else, right?
And see, the thing is, even if you look at our own chapters or our own regional leadership, if somebody had to ask me right now, even though I'm a very passionate YP member, who was the learning officer 5 years ago or who was the ex-officer, you just can't remember. But if somebody had to say, what's your opinion about Terence and what's an opinion about Amit and what's an opinion about Tassos, what you feel about the individual immediately comes out. You don't need to remember what position they held, but you know exactly what you feel about the personality. And that, I believe, is at the bane of exactly what we should be doing. Humans first, officers much later.
Exactly. And for our YPO peers who have been rounding up on leadership, what would be your advice, not just for seasoned YPOs, and we have many of our amazing peers with us, but many newer YPOs who are joining in, and you know, I wouldn't say I'm new, but newish, if in conversation with our peers, what advice would you give to the newer members who've joined within the last year or so and are still trying to find their feet?
One, as I mentioned, that they should not feel scared about, you know, being judged or feel that they will be questioned, they would be made fun of. This is the most apt organization and a platform for you to try what you want to try in terms of your business, in terms of your personal choices, in terms of creating networks. One, step out of the comfort zone. Two, do exactly what you feel. The organization gives immense number of opportunities and platforms to be able to do what you want to feel like, whether you don't want to be an officer or you just want to be a champion of a single event, whether you want to champion multiple events. The even if you're looking at a champion, you can champion anything that is close to your heart. The organization supports you in many forms. So there is enough opportunities out there to truly, and I really, and in my journey of IPO, something I really feel attached to is this whole concept of lifelong learning. And over the years, I've met some wonderful officers, mentors, peers who explained to me the concept of lifelong learning is that you do not need to come into the organization assuming that you know everything. In your entire journey of IPO, that's exactly what you do. You keep learning new things. And I would tell anyone who's new, newish, is that it's a great journey, but you can only take advantage of this journey if you get onto the journey and step out of the comfort zone of your forum or even your chapter and say, I'm going to champion, I'm going to raise my hand to becoming an officer.
Yeah, fantastic. Saurabh, thank you so much for that. And I look forward to engaging with you soon and in other discussions as we evolve, both in the Leadership Development Network and in the broader YPO.
Sure, Terence. Wonderful chatting up with you, my friend.
Same here.
Stay in, stay safe. My love to everyone at home.
And you.
Thank you for joining us. In the next show, we share more insights and discussions with members in the YPO Leadership Development Network's Leader of Leaders podcast series.